Hello, Evers and Nevers, and welcome back to SGE with S&G. I'm Sam.
I'm Gail.
And today we'll be discussing Chapter 23, Magic in the Mirror. So,
Of the School for Good and Evil
by Soman Chainani. So, I believe we actually said we were going to post this episode earlier this week.
No, we said we'd post the last episode earlier this week. We're on track.
When did we post last episode?
I don't know.
Let me check.
We're on track.
Just a little quick.
Sam, don't burst my bubble. Like I said, we're on track.
The track team. Is there a track team in Riverdale?
There probably is. Let's look at it.
Gail used to watch Riverdale, and I definitely judge her.
Enough said.
Yeah.
No, I don't think there is.
Period.
Wait, should our next special episode be reading my old fanfiction?
It says... Wait. Oh, okay, yeah. It says it was published on the 22nd.
We're not on track.
We're not on track.
Well...
That was Wait, I thought we posted one more recently than that. Didn't we post a special episode? Because I can see a special episode that's in the vault... But I think I remember what that one was about, and it was really bad. Remember we analyzed names?
That was a really long time ago.
I thought I deleted this.
If you guys want a name analyzing a special episode,
that's
just
really
ask us.
Boring and like not very. Yeah, whatever. Anyway,
no, so... our next special episode will be my fan fiction.
Oh, really?
Yes.
We're doing this?
It needs it. It never got that. Oh my gosh, actually, I do want to see how many reads it got.
Can't see how many reads you get, can you?
Can I see, like, if people
favorite it? Wait, check
it
out. Yeah, hold on. I'm going to try to find.
This is off to a bit of a slow start. Sorry, guys.
Wait, I can give them a teaser. I don't think anyone wants a teaser.
Fine.
No, it's fine.
Let me
give a teaser.
Sign in. See, the only reason I still have access to my account is because it's saved to my, what's 5 plus 7? 12.
Yeah, the new thing where you have to answer, like, you're not a robot. Sometimes I have a major crisis, you know, and it's like, what's 0 plus 0? And I'm like, is this a trick question?
No, but I only remember my account because it's saved to my, like, iCloud, or no, cloud. It's saved to my whatever account.
Yeah.
How many ranking points do we have as SG with S&G?
Not many.
Oh, that's so much more.
No, you had so many more, I thought.
I had 875.
Oh.
Not many.
Well.
Wait, let me
I'm
look
trying
at
to find
stuff.
You. I still can't find you.
Don't you dare look for me.
I'm looking.
You can't reveal my username.
I won't reveal your username.
Oh my gosh, I got some people.
Did you get a lot of responses?
Sometimes.
That is so sick. Sorry, we're kind of... honestly, you can probably just hear us breathing heavily out of our noses or something.
Wait, we'll get into the, I really tried to plug.
Oh,
I was like, my story so
found.
Far. And then I plugged my
Located.
Look, people what? Said, so cool, good job, etc.
Okay, I found you.
Don't reveal.
Whoa, you posted on this only 2 years ago. What? Well, 3 years, I guess.
I don't remember that. Oh my gosh, look. Don't look. Sam can't look. Sam hasn't read any of my
you
stuff.
You wrote some... Okay. I have. Well,
don't
accidentally.
Look.
Okay, I'm done.
Here, someone said... Or I wrote, hi guys, I'm going to update on Sophia, who's my character.
Oh, right, because you had
soon.
Sophia and, like, Tadros as your main
really
characters.
Love reading everyone's stories, smiley face. And someone replied to me, okay. But this person was also the same person that wrote good job on another thing. So, hey.
Maybe the person just felt a little passive aggressive or something. Okay. That was enough time.
Enough ranting.
Okay, so... Now, this chapter cuts back to Agatha. So, last time we saw her, she was flying out of Sophie's bedroom window as a dove after Sophie yelled, get your own life at her. And it is still echoing in Agatha's head.
I mean, that's pretty harsh. We already talked about it last chapter, or
yeah.
Last episode. But that's pretty...
bumped something.
That's hard.
Hurtful. So, and then Agatha just kind of thinks, what life? Right? Because she's super dependent on Sophie, because Sophie made her feel needed and normal and not a freak and a witch. Which is really interesting, you know? Because I never got the feeling that Sophie was super, at least as of yet, she's not super...
She's not super what?
I'm trying to think of the right word.
It's because Sophie's...
She's not really a supportive friend. She's kind of like Alexis in Schitt's Creek.
No, because we'll see this...
Because I love Alexis and I love Sophie, but...
We'll see this later. Like, Agatha admits it. It's... She liked being around Sophie at first because Sophie was stranger than she was.
Right.
So it's like, she says she felt... With around Sophie, she felt normal and needed. Normal not because it was a friend, but because Sophie was
stranger
than she was
to at least the people and the townspeople.
More of like an outcast, I guess.
Yeah, but Sophie was more of an intentional outcast. You know, she went out of her way to not help her family out, and I mean honestly, I do get it because she feels that. Well, you find out the real juicy family deets later in this book, and then kind of over this... Wow, I just glitched over the series in general. But she really does go out of her way to, you know, make her father's life miserable, etc., etc.
No, but basically, Sophie, like, regardless if it's on purpose or not, Sophie is more unique than Agatha.
Do you think so?
In the sense that in the town, it was like, or not even in the town, but Agatha being with Sophie felt normal.
Right, but that's, I think, because they're supposed to be, well, actually, that's true, because so, Agatha is kind of, but a simple girl, you know? She wants to, she's down with living in the town. She's not looking for something outside of it.
Yes. Yeah,
so and absolutely nothing's wrong with that. But Sophie's looking for something outside of the norm.
But it also shows it's like Agatha really had no place to get mad at Sophie for saying that Sophie just, you know, liked her for being a good deed. Mm-hmm. Because Agatha basically admits she only liked Sophie.
Because Sophie was weird as heck.
Because Sophie made her feel normal. So it's like both reasons were selfish.
I mean, but you're generally not friends with people for selfless reasons. That sounds weird.
Yeah, you are.
Not necessarily. You're friends because you're looking for amusement. Or because, you know, you're looking for amusement or a like-minded person. It's not because you're looking to help someone, really.
Yeah, but you're not... Yeah, but it's not selfish.
It's not selfless.
Yeah, but I'm saying both of them were somewhat selfish because... They're
fishwives. They sell lots of fish.
I don't know. It could be argued that, like, both of them trying to become friends wasn't selfish, but it also wasn't selfless either because Sophie just wanted to get out of the town, but it's like, then they did bond, but it's like, they just needed
someone else, and it honestly seemed like there were three girls of the same age, and the other one was Belle, who seemed like a pain.
Yeah.
So.
So it's like, they're kind of more... Yeah, somewhat selfish, but I feel like in the circumstances, it wasn't as bad as it could have been.
Yeah. So continuing with the chapter, basically Agatha stays, so she's just super, super depressed, essentially. And she stays shut up in her room for 6 days, which honestly, I didn't remember. I thought this was just literally an hour. I didn't really think this was as long, but the Evers continue being attacked and there are no more joint school activities.
Evil good activities?
Yeah.
No, just not, like, joint, wait, super random thing. The Ever Castle, I was looking at this in the book the other day, the Ever Castle has 4 towers, whereas the Evil has, like, 3, but the three Evil Towers are more macho. Anyways, carry on.
Really? Wait.
It's shown in the diagram in the first book. Okay. The front.
It's fine, Gail. You can barely hear the pages.
Okay. That's my Sheldon, okay?
Okay. Malice, mischief, and vice. Purity, honor, charity, valor.
So I was thinking maybe one house is like the gallery of good.
Possibly. Could be. But also, the evil towers are like thicker.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
I thought you were just saying masculine.
No, they're more macho, as in they're like.
They're thicker?
Yeah.
How is that more macho?
I bet like more macho, like they're larger.
They're just like bigger towers.
Yes.
More bulky.
Exactly.
Stink eye. Do you mean macho? Come on.
It was the heat of the moment.
It was not the heat of the moment. You said it twice.
Okay, fine. You can just pull out it was the heat of the moment and it kind of like causes other people to not. No, it never does. Fine, in my brain it makes me feel good.
Okay, so back to the legit story. So Agatha.
This is life advice with Gail. Pull out in the heat of the moment.
Or just don't call towers about. Macho.
It's macho.
It's literally
Should
not.
Should we send out a form to ask?
El Macho? In Despicable Me, none of the towers remind me of El Macho.
You're twisting my words.
There are inherent connotations present.
No. Okay, continue.
Okay, so Agatha feels super guilty for being shut up in her room. And she's worried. Well, that's not why she feels guilty. She feels that these attacks are perhaps her fault, because she goes back to her toxic thinking that witches leave fairy tales.
Sam is doing a lot of hand gestures. Sorry.
It helps me. It helps me think.
Sorry. Keep going.
Gail is just angry because
El Macho.
I beefed about El Macho.
Keep going.
Oh, wait, but remember in Despicable Me when he has the flag? I don't remember which country. Then he kind of wiggles his shoulders.
Yeah, they have a Mexican shop in the mall.
Okay,
tortillas?
I mean tortillas, that's immaterial. Like, he just has a flag and he wiggles his shoulders. So his, like, pecs kind of also move, so the flag looks like it's waving.
Pecs is an overstatement.
I mean, everyone, well, technically he has pecs.
Everyone has pecs.
I don't think. Oh, yeah.
Isn't it just the muscle?
Yeah, it's true.
Is pecs a. Okay, sorry, keep going.
No. Yeah, but then the attacks suddenly stop. So Agatha really thinks that Sophie will come grovel at her feet, ask for forgiveness, and Agatha prays for their friendship to survive this. So. The pecs muscle, full name, pectoralis major.
That's
like Ursa Major and Ursa Minor. Is there a pectoralis minor?
Let's look that up.
Pectoralis. Well, and I think it's interesting that Agatha prays because, I mean,
pec minor. There is
a pectoralis pec minor. I always love the anatomical skeleton type things because their eyes always crack me up, you know, because they're just the blobs.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. I'm
super surprised.
I'll stop distracting my macho-ness.
Yeah, so Agatha feels guilty, prays for their friendship to survive it, and then she receives a fateful reminding.
A fateful reminder.
About the snowball. So fairies slip the little note under her door and it says, "Dear students, with the snowball 6 days away, this week's challenges will see if you are prepared. Despite recent interruptions, there will be no further cancellations. Our traditions are what separate good from evil. Even in the darkest of times, a ball may be your best chance to find a happy ending."
Let's just break that down a teeny bit, because it's like, it's what separates good from evil. You can just see it's like good people, they have interactions with others because that's what makes them strong. Like joined moderately.
Extroversion.
Yeah. If they join forces and, you know, they have something to fight for, whereas evil, yeah, they're fighting for Nevermore, but
they're not fighting as a team.
Yeah. So it's like, it brings up the whole thing. It's like when you have something to fight for in this instance, tradition, and you feel like you're a part of something, then usually your outcome is better. Your happy ending happens.
Right. So, I mean, I just think the whole focus on the snowball as, like, the big exam of the year is honestly kind of misplaced, right? Because
it's supposed to be, though.
But it should be fun, shouldn't it? It's a ball. Like, since when, I don't know, prom, for example, if that was graded.
No, but that's the point. I think there's a societal critique here.
Ooh. Fancy, are Fancy. We?
No, I think that this is, like, this is on purpose, you know? Someone could have made this snowball, like, they all go out and party. I don't know. Like, they could have made it totally no strings attached, just total fun.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, no, it's just showing how stupid, like, this tradition and shallow. Is and shallow it is.
Because it's all about the looks and boy-girl pairs, monogamy, right? It's super, it's just so traditional.
Again, it's the
thing. And there's no embracing of anything that challenges the norm.
Because, like, let's just put it out there. They're being graded if you get a pair, right? Boys don't necessarily have to have pairs.
But girls have to.
And then, also, we have to remember, there's an even amount of ever boys and ever girls. So it's like, even if you do prefer someone of a different gender, because, you know, they're probably not all feeling...
They're probably not all straight.
They're probably not all straight, but also they're probably not all, like, male or female.
Right.
You know? So it's, like, it would have to be, like, a weird thing of, like, even pairs of different couples or mm-hmm. not heterosexual couples to make it work, and even then they'd probably be failed. So it's just, like,
right.
Nothing's going well here for anyone, any diversity or anything.
So it's don't hate the player,
or not even just diversity, game. Happiness. Like, these people yeah. with people they actually want to be with.
Right. So then also in the...
Like, Shattuck and Tedros might not get their happy ending. I wonder if that's...
Cries. Weeps. Big tears. Crocodile tears.
Crocodile tears. Anyways.
But yeah, and especially the note's wording, even in the darkest of times, a ball may be your best chance to find a happy ending. You know, ouch.
Not even victory?
Yeah. But then, so Agatha groans, of course, because, you know, she's not into balls and things. But then she falls asleep, and she really concentrates on the words ball, purpose, and happy. And they tumble into darkness, echoing deeper, deeper, until they planted in her soul like magic seeds. So, interestingly, in the prior chapter, actually, I believe there's the part where Sophie feels, like, the seed bloom within her, and I think it's the Nemesis dream.
Yeah, there are a ton of parallels with, like, the milky white mm-hmm. face.
Yeah.
The whole, like, seed blooming within you, which is kind of, like,
kind of sexual. Strange. Yeah. Here it is. A pure white seed, then a milky mass. Bigger, bigger until she saw what it was. A face too blurry to see. So.
That was Sophie.
That was Sophie. And then Agatha has magic seeds being planted in her soul. So, you know, Jack and the Beanstalk. Anyone?
Yeah.
But yeah. So then we cut. Then the chapter cuts.
So, back in our macho towers...
They're not macho!
Yes, they are.
They're just...
In our macho towers, evil people are having
evil
a discussion
people.
On
The
love.
Nevers.
The Nevers. Evil people. They're having
They're a... not necessarily evil, though.
True, true. They're having a discussion on love. And so, this just kind of shows, like, what the general perspective of that evil has on love.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of grim.
Horrifying.
Not kind of, it is grim.
It is. So, Ravon or Raven, I honestly say Raven, but I think Raven. It would probably be Ravon or something. Ravon!
I like Raven.
Me too.
I mean, well, all of our bubbles are going to be, like, In what, this bubbles? Case, they're just going to be burst when, like, the movie comes out and they say the names.
Oh. I was like, I don't see any bubbles.
It's actually Agatha. Did you get bubble tea? And Sapier.
Sop high.
Sapier sounds kind of cool.
And they're both male.
And they're both male. Anyways, so Raven says, I'm saying Raven, he says, Sophie shouldn't even have let herself love. So there, it's just, well, that one's not really the big part.
That's really not the important part.
But it's like letting yourself love.
It's right. Kind of, it's not a choice. Well, sometimes it is.
It's kind of like how in Romeo and Juliet, a little tie-in.
A little connection.
They're like, you're moving Romeo, the rake is like moving on to different lovers. But it's,
what?
Or, you know.
The rake?
He's kind of a rake.
Romeo?
From Rosaline. We're talking about the same Romeo.
Yeah, okay, I got
it. Okay, no, Romeo, it's just like everyone, it's kind of like you just, it's his conscious decision to move on in a weird way. Or, like, at least that's what people think of it. So it's like love isn't that romantic in this sense. And so that's kind of like what Raven's saying. Like, you really let yourself love, and it's a conscious decision.
Whereas
a weak decision
is not.
Yeah. And so he says, here's the part that Sam was talking about. First time I told my dad I liked a girl, he slathered me in honey and sealed me in a bear den for a night. Haven't liked one since.
Okay.
Do we know who his dad is?
I think it's Bluebeard or something.
Black. Bluebeard?
Bluebeard.
Uh-huh, maybe.
Blackbeard's a pirate.
Okay, I know that.
Bluebeard. That's such a David voice.
Thank you.
But the honey, Raven was first like, oh, dang, Dad, thanks for making my skin all soft and stuff. And then the bears.
Is honey good for your skin?
Yeah, it's so good for your skin.
I don't know, but I feel like when your pores, like, suck it in and then you...
I mean, supposedly it's good. I think we talked about it in, like, our very first episode of SGE with S&G. But I can Google it right now. Is honey good for your skin? I think it's in the Ever Never Handbook, and I just kind of took that as law. And yes, it says it is extremely moisturizing and hydrates even the driest of skin. It is naturally soothing and has healing properties and was traditionally used on wounds to aid healing.
I knew
that. It can also help fade scars, specifically acne scars. You can leave it on your face for 20 minutes. It can clog your pores. Well, you have to cleanse very... I don't know what the word is. Very diligently after you put on honey, because otherwise it can clog your pores and things.
We could do that for Sophie... beauty thing. People have been wanting that as a special episode.
Yeah.
Although I'm very wary of what I put on my face because I have very sensitive skin.
You do.
I say I'm very wary, but then like in the heat of the moment, there's another.
Oh yeah.
In the heat of the moment, sometimes I make bad decisions. I'm like, I'm gonna try this.
Like
mask.
When you bought a terrible mask and it burned you.
Okay, we don't need to talk about this. Anyways, well, oh yeah, love.
Like, you didn't even read any reviews or the ingredients. You were just like, rub, 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 rub. Glowing skin awaits.
Usually I read...
Evil, angry hives.
I read reviews, and then I never... Even if they're great, it's like I spend a lot of time reading reviews, and I never buy it. And then the stuff that I buy, like, breaks me out, and I don't read reviews.
Oh, yeah. It's true.
You know, honestly, when you just kind of have time to kill and you probably shouldn't be online, but you're just reading reviews?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I don't really read reviews.
It's
interesting. Sometimes I listen to them if they show up in ASMR. But, you know. I digress.
We digress.
So, wait, could you read the other examples of stories?
Oh, yeah,
of
sure.
Of people...
So,
and their first experiences.
I swear,
with love.
Every time we take a little break, the second we get on, we just start talking about like our lives and things.
Chalking. Chalking. Is that what you're
going
to say?
Very macho. Anyways.
Ew, so, stop saying macho.
First time I told my mother I fancied someone. Oh, the British accent.
Fancy.
First time mother I fancied someone, she baked me in an oven for an hour. Mona agreed, green skin paling. I never think about boys now.
Wow.
First time I liked a boy, my dad killed him. And then they say, maybe Sophie just had bad parents. So it's like, again, bad parents, not evil parents. So it's like, an evil parent doing well would keep you away from love.
Right, but a bad parent just tries to bake it out of you.
No, a bad parent tries to let you love.
But tries to bake it out of you. Oh, I see what you mean. I misunderstood your... I thought that they... No, I thought they were calling their parents bad, though, too.
No.
Because they're shocked by Arachne's thing.
Yeah, they're shocked at that. But, like... Okay, fine. Yeah, they're pretty shocked. But it's also, like, it seems... In their head... Look, I mean, it worked. They say she shouldn't have let herself love. So clearly they got that whole thing that right. It's weak to love.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dumbledore wasn't in their lives.
Dumbledore's like, Dumble.
Dumble. We're on pretty,
Dumble's good like, terms actually, kids. Wait, hold on. Let me see if I can find Potter's Puppet Pals. I wonder if they've made any new ones. The whole new YouTube thing where they make you agree to, like, everything.
They've always made you agree for everything.
No, they used to
not. Oh my gosh, I know I was at a bad stage when it's, like, my finger knows where I accept pops up. So I just, like, naturally go there
before
it pops.
Oh my gosh, there's a new one.
Oh my gosh.
Where's Ron? And it's featuring Kimya Dawson. That's so cool. The most recent one besides that, well, that was a year ago. And the other one is A Mysterious Ticking Noise 10-year anniversary. And there's also Harry Ween, which I have not seen. Dapper Ron.
We've only seen the old ones.
I've only seen the really old ones. My favorite, Gail, and my favorite is Mustache Buddies.
That one's the best. I'm surprised they don't have even more views.
Yeah, honestly.
Maybe, is it kind of
niche? Oh, Neville's birthday has 11 million. Ginny has 8.9 million, 14 million, 6.2 million.
Check
how much
out.
Do they have, like, the whole... Oop. Not what I meant to do. How many... In total, they have 82.5 million, approximately.
It's a very
pretty
good.
Cool, if you ask me.
It's pretty great. Anyways, would you like to continue with the L
okay,
chapter?
So, yes. So all of the Nevers are super critical of falling in love, except for our boy Hort, who is still very much mooning over Sophie. And he says, he's like, you don't ever get over love. And he's moping in dirty long johns, even if they steal your room and your pajamas. So my question is, where does Hort buy his clothing? You know, because I kind of thought he owned the frog pajamas. And, like, his evil fit and period, you know?
Yeah, and how did they bring it in?
I mean, he probably wears the long johns under his pajamas or something.
Do they get dropped in the moat?
Oh, yeah.
With,
like, wait, let me see. Does a suitcase fall with him?
Maybe he just does layer.
Hort is a layering king. Where is it? Okay, so a bird ate his shirt. A stimpf ate his shirt.
That's all we know.
I forget how the first thing, well, one of the first things he asks her is, maybe we could be bunkmates or bestmates or some kind of mates. And then she describes him as Radley, but more rodent.
And he has more confidence.
And had developed courage. Honestly, mood. Dude. But Radley
wasn't
bad. Hort came on as very creepy in the beginning.
Yeah, Hort was very creepy.
But now we appreciate him. I mean, we always did, but he was very, very creepy. Yeah, so, but the whole purpose of the Nevers, even when they're distracted and talking about love, is to listen in on what's happening in room 66. And what they hear is Sophie rasping that they're killing me, and there's lots of vomiting, she has a high fever, and they find out that Anna Dill and Hester believe Tedros to be Sophie's nemesis.
But who's they're killing me? The symptoms?
I don't know. Yeah, I think so. Or no, the nemesis dreams are killing her.
Okay.
And so then basically all of evil then knows that Sophie's having Nemesis dreams, but Hester and Anadil and Sophie don't know that they know because they don't catch them outside. Whoops. And so then we cut back to Agatha for like the zillionth time this chapter.
And
she has a very strong urge to go to class.
Yeah, so basically the ball is her one chance to So basically Agatha's just kind of, she realizes that the ball is her one chance to prove to Sophie that she has a life. Quick foreshadowing, I'll point this out now so we don't spoil anything, but here it says, "A ball may be your best chance." Agatha grabbed it into her hands and read Professor Dovey's note again, eyes flaring. That's it. The ball was her chance. Note, who's giving her advice? Okay, continue.
So
she needs a guy but to take her.
The main downside is that she needs a guy to take her to the ball. And she doesn't like any of the guys in School for Good, which is understandable. Because they're all
jerks.
Yeah. Okay, so this is one of my favorite parts of the chapter. It's the first ball challenge, or the first day of ball week, the first class. And it's Professor Anemone's class. And of course, she has an exquisite ball fit, wearing a white swan feather dress with a high rump and scandalously short hem, along with purple pantyhose, sparkly garters, and a crown that could have been an upside-down chandelier. And honestly, confidence, mad A plus, but like, execution?
No.
"Behold, true ball, elegance," she preened, caressing her tail feathers. "A good thing's boys cannot ask me to the ball, or many of you would lose your princes." "Yes, isn't it divine? I was told by Empress Vysilla that this is all the rage in Putsy." Putsy. Honestly, I picture Lemtov saying this. Have you guys seen Eurovision? Or not actual Eurovision, but it's a document, or not, it's a
faux documentary. It's called a mockumentary, actually, Sam.
Okay. On Netflix, featuring Will Ferrell and Regina George, but she's now old, I think. Right? Mean girl person.
Yeah, but is that her name? Is that the actress's name?
No.
Oh, her name's like Mick. Name is. Rachel, maybe? McAdams.
Rachel McAdams. I know she's Canadian. That's honestly all. And it's very funny. And Lemtov is my favorite character.
Lemtov's great.
So, that is a huge compliment.
What do you think, Professor Anemone, what's she supposed to represent from good?
I have no idea.
She's just like the random...
She's
the crazy eight.
The crazy eight. She's the crazy aunt.
And basically, yeah, that's so Professor Anemone's part.
Then the whole objective of that class is to practice proposing, which is especially interesting because the girls aren't going to propose to the guys.
But listen to this. This is on page 364. "Of course not all of you will be asked to the snowball," warned Professor Anemone. "Every year, one woeful girl has failed, because boys would rather take half ranks than take her. And such a girl who can't find a boy, even under the most propitious circumstances, well, she must be a witch, mustn't she?"
So everyone looks at Agatha, obviously.
And it's just so sad.
Yeah, honestly, it's terrible. And then... what happens next, Kale?
Well,
pray tell.
It just shows how crazy it is. It's now finding a date was a matter of life and death.
Which is just insane. Or pass and fail, I suppose.
I think that especially in this part, the book is conscious
of
how dramatic.
No, I think it's always been, the author has always been conscious of how bizarre good is being, which is the whole point of it.
Yes. I know, but I like it. The book is very self-aware of itself.
That's completely redundant. You could just say self-aware.
It's very self-aware.
The book is self-aware of its pages.
It's self-aware of its pages. Anyways, would you like to...
Yeah, so they practice, they're proposing, and then Agatha, so they're instructed to visualize their suitors, and Millicent is Agatha's partner, and she almost barfs asking Agatha. And so Agatha tries to visualize a person, right? And so she smiles, right? And it's very, very beautiful, apparently. And, but of course, Professor Anemone has to temper that compliment by saying, if only the rest was too. And honestly, just getting that kind of snark from your teachers.
And yeah, from the a very professor who are supposed to
must just be terrible. That seems so unkind. I mean, it is so unkind.
Yeah. And then,
next class, the 12 dancing princesses show up.
And so it shows basically post-marriage letting oneself go. And, like, and Beatrix, so,
yeah.
They're all talking about their moms. They're like, that's what happens after you're married, said Giselle. My mother stopped shaving her legs. Mine can't fit in any of her old gowns, Millicent said. Mine doesn't wear makeup, said Ava. Mine eats cheese, Rena sighed. Beatrix looked faint. And then Shattuck says, well, my wife tries any of that. She can go live with witches, Shattuck said, gnawing on a turkey leg. In all the pictures of Ever After, no one sees an ugly princess. But we do like, see an ugly prince.
Come on, Shattuck. Like, chill, man.
Yeah.
So sexist.
No, but it also shows how stupid it is, because it literally says he's gnawing on a turkey leg while he's saying this.
I know. So Shattuck's like, so disgusting.
But he does get a character arc.
He really does, but not really.
Not right now. But it's just saying, like, mine eats cheese. I love cheese, but...
Cheese is amazing.
It's like, these shouldn't be really...
Like, if you don't want to shave your legs, don't. You know? It's not... And... it's portrayed as, you know, letting yourself go post-marriage, but I mean, what if they're probably just embracing what they wanted to all along, but they really needed to not?
And they're probably because becoming they needed healthy, to. Like, with food-wise and that kind of thing?
Right, because all the good girls have insane eating disorders. At least it seems, no?
It seems.
Because in the very beginning, Beatrix encourages skipping meals because they make you fat, which is not true. And you actually need food, and it's very important.
Yeah.
But yeah, continuing with the chapter, then... Oh, they're at lunch. Chaddock's retelling his story, making himself sound even cooler every time he retells it. And Kiko sits down with Agatha and tells her to not be upset. It can't be true that the two boys... to go together rather than ask her. Can't be true. And then Agatha just kind of looks at Kiko and Kiko screams and leaves. Which is pretty funny, in my opinion.
It is funny. Then comes the part with the written test. So it's like, in good deeds, here I'll read it from the page, 368. In good deeds, Professor Dovey gave them a written test on how they would handle moral predicaments at a ball. For instance... And then it just gives you, like, a question.
Here, wait, let's go through one question. We can try answering and then compare it to Agatha's. Do this one so we can't see the answer.
Sure.
Number two.
Two is, upon arriving at the ball, you notice your friend's breath smells unbearably of garlic and trout. However, your friend is going with the person you hoped would ask you to the ball. Do you, A, inform your friend at once of their foul odor? B, say nothing since it is your friend's fault they smell. C, say nothing because they will say nothing because you will enjoy watching them be embarrassed. Or D, offer them a piece of sweet licorice without mentioning their breath. I'd probably do
A. I think it's super important
A or D.
To be upfront. Yeah, but what if they don't eat the sweet licorice?
Then I'd definitely tell them.
Yeah.
Or I'd like come to the bathroom with me.
I think I would tell them and then give them a piece of sweet licorice.
Yeah.
I think that would cover all my bases.
Yup, yup.
What does Agatha pick?
She picks A. And she adds, because at least bad breath is temporary. ugly as forever. I like that we get to see, like, her inner thoughts.
Yeah, but also, if this is the kind of test they're taking, there's a clear right answer. How is anyone failing?
Who knows?
Oh my gosh.
Anyways, then she's basically...
So then Agatha receives a 100% on the test.
And a note that says, see me, period, from Dovey.
So Agatha goes to talk to Dovey, and they discuss looks. Specifically, this is actually, I thought, was a pretty meaningful discussion. Because Agatha says that, well, probably one of the most, well, the most important part of being a good princess is being beautiful. And so Dovey brings up the example of Beatrix, which is honestly hilarious because this is her student.
Yeah.
But she asks Agatha if she found Beatrix beautiful when she first met her, and Agatha says, yeah, of course. And then Dovey asks, how about now? And Agatha admits that she doesn't find Beatrix beautiful anymore. She's abhorrent, you know, because she was mean, rude, nasty. Underhanded, just generally nasty. And... so then Dovey just helps Agatha come to the realization that what matters is inside and not outside. But she still helps Agatha get a makeover.
And here's the part that I was foreshadowing earlier. I forgot that it's in this chapter. I don't know why. But,
Oh, I thought you how knew. That's why you were doing it.
Dovey is a fairy godmother.
She is the fairy She's godmother. She's
the fairy godmother.
Ella Maiden Vale.
And you... I feel like I wrote fanfic for all of my... Anyway.
Did you?
That's neither here nor there.
But we all want to know.
But we all... I don't think I did. But it's probably, like, on my drive somewhere. Anyways, the Dovey, it's like she was kind of helping Agatha all along with the snowball invitation that gave her the idea, like I mentioned earlier. And honestly, that's just... She's a pretty cool character in this chapter.
Okay, wait, one quick thing, and then we'll discuss the makeover sort of thing, but Agatha first wishes to be beautiful with the magic wand, and the wand breaks, and Dovey's like, ooh, good ambitious, that wish.
I think it's because she already is.
We'll have to do it the old-fashioned way. So the nymphs fly in, or glide in, something. Like, then Dovey averts her eyes from the carnage, and she says they really are too tall.
They need, like, a working union or something.
Yeah, honestly, the nymphs are very overworked.
Get out of there.
Struggling. Need some help. Underpaid. They're like the house elves. I think we've discussed this.
Yeah, we have.
What would it be? What would spew be for nymphs? Mew. Nepew.
Society. No, it's for protection society. Of.
Oh, spnwa. Society for the protection of elfish welfare.
Yeah.
Society for the protection of
nymphish.
Or it could wait, it'd be funny if you could make it spawn. Like society for the protection
and advancement.
Advancement and
welfare
of nymphs.
That's the one.
Spawn. Join Spawn today.
Join Spawn. If we ever had merch, it could be Spawn.
It would be Spawn. We would Spawn merch. But yeah. So then Agatha wakes up post-beautification in the groom room, and her hair and skin feel smoother, softer, daintier. I honestly love the groom room. I wish everyone had access to this. I mean, I wish there was one in real life, because imagine how nice that would be.
It's literally just a spa, except...
But you have access to it.
Yeah. But would you just kind of get used to it, and then you...
Yeah, probably. Okay. Our cat is back, by the way.
Another thing. It's like...
You heard a meow.
These people who, you know... The wives that, quote-unquote, let themselves go. It's like, they also didn't have a groom room on hand at all times, so...
I mean, but they are princesses.
Yeah. Anyways.
And they had a cool story.
So... Then she leaves, and everyone is treating her differently. So like,
we'll discuss the various things. Albemarle, I believe, falls off his ladder.
No, that's Chaddock.
No. What? Albemarle's chiseling something into the scoreboard. And he's like, Agatha, oh my! Maybe his glasses fall off. Something falls.
Yeah, he says, oh my, no, Chadwick falls off the ladder.
No, Chadwick falls off the rope.
No.
Of hair.
No, he was looking at...
Wait, where, he was right on here. A rope of hair.
Yes, he hanging is. Hanging off a brick like a mountaineer.
What? Wait, is Nicholas on the hair rope then? Who's on the hair?
That was like Tedros in next chapter or the chapter
Let three. Me see. I don't believe you.
No one was ever...
Oh, you're right. How horrifying. Wow, our cat is
very... Our cat's noisy.
Yeah.
Oh, she's so cute, though. Anyways. Yeah, so it's like everyone's just really treating her better, which is mm-hmm. also... It's very true in the world if you're... If you're deemed more attractive than you
There's
are
the pretty privilege.
Better.
Yeah. Okay, and then this part is very relatable. It's the Agatha and Tedros convo. So Tedros is just staring at her, blah, blah. He coughed as if trying to find his voice.
Hi.
Hi, Agatha said, smiling stupidly. Silence. What's for supper? She said, even more stupidly. Duckling! He squeaked. He coughed again. Honestly, this reminds me so much of the conversations Harry has all the time with girls.
Cho Chang.
Like, Cho Chang especially. When it always says, like, Harry said stupidly. I think in the movie, you know the part when he drools out his water?
I love that part. It's so funny.
It's like, what?
Which book is that? Or which movie?
It's fifth, right?
Yeah, guys, if you know that part, you're great.
I hope everyone knows that part. And so then Agatha's like, because she hasn't seen herself yet, right?
Yeah.
So she's like, oh my gosh, what did they do to me? And then she realizes that they didn't actually do anything.
She sees herself in a mirror.
But people didn't recognize her
in a mirror, yeah.
Yeah, because she looked so happy. And, yeah, I mean, I think confidence is always super important, you know?
The truth is, she was beautiful all along.
And she bursts into deep cleansing and smiling sobs. Whereas, by contrast, Sophie is screaming and having her worst dreams yet in the other tower.
Yay. So that shows that one of them is doing well and the other is not.
So who is the witch?
No.
I'm kidding.
It gives us some foreshadowing into Sophie's dreams.
Indeed, indeed.
Or the meaning, who the milky white face is. Anyways, that was a really good chapter.
I know.
Very, a lot of stuff.
Juicy.
I feel like one of my favorite characters here would definitely be Dovey.
Yeah, Dovey for also ethics, but Anemone for funny, for relatability.
Yeah.
Tedros for saying stuff stupidly.
I think many characters showed their best.
Albemarle for saying, oh my! And for, it would have been so much more improved if his spectacles fell off, or, you know, his tail feathers fell out.
Or like the once over. Yeah. That would be awful.
And you tilt your glasses. You're like, hmm.
Like when Effie does it in...
Yeah, Hunger Games.
Hunger Games. That's great.
Well, if you'd like to email the show, you can email us at sgewithsng@gmail.com. Of course, we always love to hear from you regarding, you know, special episode requests, general feedback, any questions, comments,
yeah.
You name it, we'll read it.
Yeah, anyways, I'm Gail.
I'm Sam.
And this has been SGU with S&G. Bye.